Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
From Phoenix, Arizona, 9-8, and a very special individual that we're also an independence clearing kind of guy, Jeff Berwick. Jeff Berwick, Dollar Vigilante. We're going to be talking about Narcopoco 2024. Lot. Is it 2024? The freaking year, man. This is it. You know, that's the first thing I want to get. Jeff, is 2024 the year? Is this it? Are we there yet?
I don't even believe in what they call the years. The calendar's all screwed up. The months is all screwed up. They've basically, whoever's been putting this whole thing into place for like centuries or millennia is all lies. So I just live day by day. I actually just live in the present moment. But apparently some people call this 2024. I do know that we're calling this Narcopoco's 10th anniversary event coming up in just about 3 weeks now in Acapulco.
This is going to be an important time to make sure that we understand that it's coming. And I wanted to, you know, let's talk about some of the speakers and the theme this year. You know, we have the logo here, 2024 Reborn, Freedom is Rising. And that's kind of the feel, the vibe that, you know, I kind of been building up, you know, Freedom's Phoenix. It's now. You know, here we go. Why this year? What prompted you guys to kind of have this concept and kind of theme? Why this year?
Well, it's kind of funny because I came up with the idea Reborn about 6 months ago. And actually, no one at Narcopoco really liked it very much. But I said, I think we really got to go with this because that's really what I feel like this is all about. Is Narcopoco started, as you know, Ernie, you were there for the first one 10 years ago. It was quite a few drunk people, a lot of people in black t-shirts, all really angry at the government. Every talk was about how bad the government was. And over time, I've kind of realized myself that a big part of changing all of this is actually changing yourself. So Narcopoco has gone through all kinds of changes over the years, and it's kind of come to a point in the last few years where there's a lot, as you know, you were MC last year. There was so many people about self-work type stuff, the ways that you can change yourself, and then other things as well, like growing your own food, like all these things you can be doing. And when you change that, the world will change. Reality itself will change when you change yourself. And I've been personally going through that massively. I've actually gone through it probably about 7 years now of self-work, but over the last 3 years, I almost went on I kind of turned into a hermit almost. I didn't hardly talk to anyone. I just meditated hours per day, every day for the last few years, and kind of reached all these new levels. And So for me personally, it's kind of like being reborn, and I kind of see Anarchapulco and what everyone's doing there as being kind of like reborn as well. And the funny thing is, I came up with that idea before the Cat 5 hurricane, which was not a hurricane, it was a weather weapon, came out of the blue. No one in Acapulco even knew it was coming. As you know, hurricanes go, there's no way to plan for them. They just pop up and hit 200 mile per hour winds, and then they disappear 2 hours later. But after that happened, and after we spent about a month of trying to, first of all, raising $400,000 from libertarians and anarcho-capitalists, a lot of it in crypto, a lot of it in Monero, and saving a lot of the city itself, saving a lot of the people who needed food, water, medical supplies, help, all kinds of things, and then going on to help people rebuild their homes and stuff like that. And then we decided, okay, I think we can still do an Acapulco in February. It's crazy. We only have 2 months to get ready for it. And then Kat was like, I can't believe you came up with the name Reborn before this happened.
Right.
And I said to her, I go, you know, I get these ideas in my meditations, and they come to me for a reason, and I just trust them. And yeah, so that's basically why it's called Reborn. And so, people are coming this year, and Acapulco itself in many ways is kind of being reborn. A lot of things were washed away in this massive attack. I think, you know, Acapulco had some issues for sure. There's always been some problems, and people kind of been, you know, there's been some drug-related problems, and people fighting over all the, you know, drug money and all this kind of stuff. And I think it kind of slapped a lot of them in the face, and people kind of just like got back to, we live in a beautiful place, let's just make this place beautiful, sort of a thing. So Acapulco's kind of being reborn, and we're being reborn along with it. So it all worked out.
Well, this is it's interesting to see a place that already had exposure to your philosophy, benefited from Anarchapulco. And there is a language barrier a little bit, but, you know, we can learn how to speak Spanish. A lot of them speak English. But the village of Bonfil there, where you have Jardín Secreto, the secret garden, the people there are so nice and so supportive. And to have the opportunity when they needed help the most to go in and show them, hey, we're going to bypass all this crap. It ain't going to be the cross of nothing's going to come down and save you, the Red Cross, or this cross, or that, you know, and then just take the money. We just, boom, crypto, you raised like, God, man, it was like a week, like 300,000 or something, some ridiculous amount, just went down. Now, Danny Sessom had just visited here a couple weeks ago. He came by and we hung out, and he's telling me all the stories down there. And after a while, okay, we got enough food, man, we're good. We need to build. You know, it needs to start to, you know, take this brick, put it back on top of that brick. And how has the actual construction of the homes, of the structures, of the facilities, and then how much closer are you with the people, the culture, their support of you, you supporting them? It's a community, and what's in opposition to that? You know, is the man involved, or you got the, you know, the mayor is like, oh yeah, it's all good, or where's our cut, or so? Give me the whole integration of how you guys went down and helped and where it's needed. But tell me the narrative of everything, where you got to and where it is now.
Well, as I said, the hurricane hit out of the blue. I was one of the only people on Earth who even knew it was going to be a major hurricane a few hours before. I tried to warn so many people. Hardly anyone listened, which is the story of my life. Only one person listened, and he said it probably saved his family's life, because he lived in a kind of a house that would not withstand whatsoever those winds, and it was basically destroyed, and he had two small children. The next day, almost, Danny Sessom was on his motorcycle driving down from Texas before anyone even knew what was going on, because we had no way of knowing, because I wasn't here as well. My wife actually had an intuition that some dark energy was going to hit Acapulco in October, so she said we couldn't go in October. Again, you know, we get these messages. But as soon as it happened, we actually sent people down. It took them about most of the day to get here, especially once they got close. It was so hard to even drive in. All the roads were blocked with just debris. And then once they got in, they couldn't respond to us because there's no signal, no internet, no power, no water, no nothing. So they'd have to come out about an hour outside of Acapulco. And then when they finally did, and they said to me, it's like a massive disaster. We have to do something. I immediately did that video. We raised $450,000 within a few days. And the Acapulco people jumped into action. People who work with us, people who attend the event. We had over 50 people working on the recovery efforts almost immediately. We were the first people here by far. No one else was here. The government from the beginning until basically now has never done anything whatsoever. Like, not a thing, basically. Which, like, there was some military guys driving around, but they weren't really doing anything, and there was no real problems. All these things that people heard about, violence and all this sort of stuff, was all actually made up by the media, very much like in the U.S. It's all propaganda. Actually, the Red Cross in Mexico is actually quite good. And the family who runs it, it's like a billionaire family who are very connected to Acapulco. They actually own the Zebu restaurant here in Acapulco. They love Acapulco, and they did a great job. They came in after us. So that was it. It was the anarchists, and then the Red Cross, which is private, came in and did a good job. And there was a couple others that came
Wait. You got to do Red Cross local. Because Red Cross in general, I've had so many bad experiences and stories of whatever, but the Red Cross in Acapulco is its own standalone kind of family run, directed, we got it taken care of here thing. Describe that.
Yeah, I was expecting the same as you, because I've seen Red Cross in the U.S., I've seen it in Puerto Rico, I've seen it in most places, and it's a giant scam, and they mostly get in the way and steal stuff and make it so people can't help people. But luckily here in Mexico, just like with many things, it's a lot more private, family-owned sort of a thing, and they actually did a really good job. It was basically us and Red Cross for the first month, and that was almost it. Numerous people came in after that, but we were basically keeping the city on its feet. There was no water even to drink, and there was no rain with this hurricane. So it was actually quite dire for a while, for a few weeks. But we were rolling in trucks. But it's funny, the government did nothing, which actually is fine with me. I'd rather there was no government at all. They don't really do much in Mexico anyway, which is why I live here. It's great. There's hardly any government involvement in anything. They also don't help in natural disasters. But we raised the funds and helped out a lot dramatically here. We haven't really heard anything from the government or anything. There was really no government involvement. So this was really so apropos that we're in Acapulco, we're in Acapulco, we're talking about anarchy, how people need to be self-sufficient, every single thing should be done privately and not by the government, and that's exactly what we did. And as you pointed out, we were in so many areas, so many of the poor areas where they're really in dire straits, and they're putting up signs, thank you in Acapulco. Like, in Acapulco is, I don't think most people even knew about us before this, even though we were on that HBO special, but people here don't really watch that kind of stuff. But now Acapulco is kind of well known by many people in Acapulco as being this amazing group of people who help save the city. So Reborn's going to have an extra special style to it this year, with so many people. There's so many of the people who work with us in Acapulco. We rebuilt their homes with the funds raised. Danny was very involved in that. Danny was actually by far the most incredible person of everyone in this event. He came down immediately on his motorcycle. He was the first person here with Henza from the HBO documentary The Anarchists, if anyone knows that. And they got everything really rolling right from the get-go. And it's everything that we've been talking about. And it's what we've been saying, and people need to do these things. And we ended up having to do it, and it was a total success.
Immediately after that, we had you on, and we got to help promote, right, and it just really, you guys were very successful in fundraising, and but then it gets used and it's directed, and it's going to be more than you would ever contribute to anyone. It's directly to the people standing there doing it. And this is how it has to happen. Now, Danny had done the same thing with hurricanes, in the U.S., in Texas, and we helped fund it and promoted that, too. So I already knew that it was going to be a well-placed dollar, you know, to, or peso or whatever, crypto, to go down. Now, what was the favorite method? Was it cash, PayPal? Was it crypto? Which crypto? What? As these things happen and we have more and more of these opportunities to demonstrate people just doing it, what was the method of wealth or value or transfer? Or describe that. You know, what do you think is the best way to do that?
Well, I have a lot of experience with that now, and we started a GoFundMe right off the bat. And the reason is that's a site that a lot of people use for other donations they've made in the past. They've already got their credit card or banking information on there, and it's like one click for them to donate. And so we did that, and that was actually a big part of raising the initial funds, but it actually took us almost 2 weeks to actually get the funds, and we really had to pressure them. They wanted so much documentation and stuff, and it's actually pretty insane when you think about it. We're raising funds because people here right now will be dead in a few days if they don't get some water and some food, and we're filling out tax forms for weeks and going back and forth with them. It would have been a disaster, except for one thing, is that we also had every crypto wallet you can imagine, Pirate Chain, Dero, Ethereum, Monero, Bitcoin, and we raised well over $100,000 in crypto in the first week, and that's what kept us going until the funds were released from GoFundMe. But a lot of people said, Jeff, you're an idiot. Why'd you even put it on GoFundMe? Well, the most amount of money that was raised was actually on GoFundMe. It was well over $250,000 through GoFundMe, then $100,000 through crypto and a few other sites. We used the Give, Send, Go, but we only raised about $10,000 on there because people just don't have it linked up. So, you know, I would advise people in the future that you probably should still use GoFundMe. It's a bit of a disaster. It's definitely not fast, but that's where people are used to doing. I would prefer if people were used to doing more crypto and stuff like that, and luckily we have a big audience of people who are used to that, and that's what really saved us.
It's shock troops. You know, it's the tip of the spear to get there the first of freaking here we are. That is such a demonstration of, having it a week late is like not having it a lot of times, and they're dead. I mean, you know, so this is, you know, I'm just, this is so, and where my mind's at, you know, in the pre-show we talked about, you know, this a little bit, that our focus has been, and I know, and you and a lot of other people are a great example of how you can parlay the big tech media and the platforms and make and build and build and build. And I've just been of the attitude that because of our experience with the Levolution and everything, that they don't want another movement like this. They don't want a demonstration of a narcopoco and a hurricane of, yeah, we got a targeted weapon. All they did was just demonstrate how non-government works better, you know. And I can see the Reborn 2024 coming, and it's just more of this. It's getting more and more and more, but it's the infrastructure. It's the communication. It's the being able to do something like crypto. It's this perfect neon flashing light example of exactly why was because of this. You needed it now. You didn't want to have to wait. You don't want to get approved. You don't want this cross-border banking of I went and kind of tax of, you know, whatever that crap is going on. Get out of the way. Grease the skids between peer-to-peer individuals that need and want and do and on the ground kicking butt. So this was neon flashing example, and I'm all about creating that infrastructure, of which I'm glad I got to show you a little bit of it. There's a lot of meetings been going on. I have one after this on that is anarcho-capitalists are starting to really demonstrate the future of what's coming. It's a parallel economy, society, communication, what, and then you see things like the Heritage Foundation at Davos going, you guys suck, and Javier Milei, they're going, and in an articulate, well-reasoned, libertarian, voluntarist, anarchist, agorist, Libya, lonist, justification and rationale to these very guys, and they are concerned that you and us and all the things that we're doing are a threat. What they want to make sure doesn't happen is that there's the network's already there. It's the infrastructure and the capability to do what we're talking about. That's why crypto is being slapped around as much. They want to make it central bank digital currency, GoldmanSachs.gov coin, or whatever the hell they're doing. 2024 Reborn in Acapulco this year is more than just a lot of the pieces that are there that people would go for. You know, I talked to Danny's girlfriend the first time she went to Acapulco. She thought it was going to be yoga and, you know, freaking peace be upon thee, the meditation of massages of something. And all of a sudden, what the crap just happened, what she got exposed to? And all of a sudden, a couple of years go by, boom, she's an anarchist, you know. And, you know, here we go. So if you go to Acapulco thinking something else, or you find your tribe there, you're going to get exposed to the reborn of the future that 2024, I think, is a launch pad for. Describe that. What do you see the future? It's going to be, you know, somebody's going to, you know, they're going to have an election and the government's going to win, you know, in 24, you know, whatever. But what do you see as what we're building and demonstrating and what Davos and friends needs to be afraid of?
Well, that's a tough question. What's going to happen in the future with all of this? I don't really know. I do know that all of their systems are in collapse. That's why I started the dollar vigilante. I was expecting the dollar to collapse at some point, basically around now. And it is, and it will, even more. And all the central banks are going to collapse. A lot of the government's going to collapse. A lot of the economy, as we know, it's going to collapse because of it. Basically, most of the things they've set up are all on the verge of collapse. Now, what they want, and what they know that as well, obviously. They're not stupid, a lot of these people. Like all these, you know, Joe Biden's stupid, Justin Trudeau's stupid, but those are just complete puppets. They're just actors. They just read off their teleprompters. The people really running things, they're not stupid. And they know this is reaching an end, especially the central banks and the digital and the currencies and stuff like that. It's all headed towards hyperinflation very quickly now with all the amount of debt. And that's just a natural thing that happens when you have a debt-based monetary system like a central bank. So these things are collapsing. They want to kind of do it in their way. It's always problem, reaction, solution. So they're trying to set it up. So there's lots of problems. And, you know, this Ukraine thing is getting things set up. The Israel thing is getting things set up to do kind of like a World War III, which is just completely orchestrated, just like World War II, just like World War I, just like every single war. It's all based on lies, all based on false flags, and then the banksters reorganize things in a way that they have even more control and more power. So we're going to see probably stuff like that. Satan Klaus Schwab has warned that the next thing they're planning is a cyber attack. Kill Gates has warned that they're going to do something way bigger than the COVIDs next. And so I think they're going to do all these things all at once, and probably this year or maybe next year at the latest, I think. And when that all happens, the world's going to change so dramatically, no one will believe it. You will actually not believe it. Most people will actually be fooled by it. They're going to make the next COVIDs look like it's real. It's probably going to be set off by 5G, and it's probably going to interact with the graphene that's in the lethal injections that over a billion people injected into their bodies. And they can individually target those with the 5G. So they'll be taking down people all over the world, and then their mainstream media propaganda this will come out and say, this is a new COVID, it's disease X now, and there's 100 million people died this month, we've got to lock down the entire world. Most people will fall for it, even libertarians, a lot of them will fall for it because they'll be in massive fear.
I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply. the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each three-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. A former IRS contractor who disclosed tax records, including those of former President Donald Trump, is now facing prison time. Charles Littlejohn has been sentenced to 5 years in prison. He entered a guilty plea in October, admitting to one count of unauthorized disclosure of tax returns. A warning has been issued to Americans regarding travel to the Bahamas. The State Department issued a Level 2 advisory, alerting travelers to potential risks in the area. The advisory is prompted by the occurrence of at least 18 murders in the Bahamas so far this year. Fans of the Kansas City Chiefs and San Francisco 49ers who are considering a trip to Las Vegas for the Super Bowl might need some luck to afford it. The most affordable ticket available on the NFL Ticket Exchange via Ticketmaster is priced at nearly $11,000 after fees. That's for a single seat in an upper-level end zone section at Allegiant Stadium. John Schaefer, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Or Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network. We're finishing up our conversation with Jeff Berwick, founder of Anarchapoco. Anarchapoco 2024 is coming up just around the corner, and there's so much about this conference that's unique. Some people, they got to go to Anarchapoco to be with their tribe. Well, hopefully we can describe it well for you this evening. The remainder of our conversation with Jeff Berwick, Anarchapoco 2024.
We raised well over $100,000 in crypto in the first week, and that's what kept us going until the funds were released from GoFundMe. But a lot of people said, Jeff, you're an idiot. Why'd you even put it on GoFundMe? Well, the most amount of money that was raised was actually on GoFundMe. It was well over $250,000 through GoFundMe, then $100,000 $5,000 through crypto and a few other sites. We used Give, Send, Go, but we only raised about $10,000 on there because people just don't have it linked up. So, you know, I would advise people in the future that you probably should still use GoFundMe. It's a bit of a disaster. It's definitely not fast, but that's where people are used to doing. I would prefer if people were used to doing more crypto and stuff like that. And luckily, we have a big audience of people who are used to that, and that's what really saved us.
It's shock troops. You know, it's the tip of the spear to get there the first of freaking here we are. That is such a demonstration of, you know, having it a week late is like not having it a lot of times, and they're dead. I mean, you know, so this is, you know, I'm just, this is so, and where my mind's at, you know, in the pre-show, we talked about, you know, this a little bit, that our focus has been, and I know, and you and a lot of other people are a great example of how you can parlay the big tech media and the platforms and make and build and build and build. And I've just been of the attitude that because of our experience with the Lovolution and everything, that they don't want another movement like this. They don't want a demonstration of a narcopoco and a hurricane of, yeah, we got a targeted weapon. All they did was just demonstrate how non-government works better, you know. And I can see the Reborn 2024 coming, and it's just more of this. It's getting more and more and more, but it's the infrastructure. It's the communication. It's the being able to do something like crypto. It's this perfect neon flashing light example of exactly why was because of this. You needed it now. You didn't want to have to wait. You don't want to get approved. You don't want this cross border banking of I went and kind of tax of, you know, whatever that crap is going on. Get out of the way. Grease the skids between peer to peer individuals that need and want and do and on the ground kicking butt. So this was neon flashing example, and I'm all about creating that infrastructure, of which I'm glad I got to show you a little bit of it. There's a lot of meetings been going on. I have one after this one that is anarcho-capitalists are starting to really demonstrate the future of what's coming. It's a parallel economy, society, communication, what, and then you see things like the Heritage Foundation at Davos going, you guys suck, and Javier Milei, they're going, and in an articulate, well-reasoned, libertarian, voluntarist, anarchist, agorist, Libya, lonist, justification and rationale to these very guys, and they are concerned that you and us and all the things that we're doing are a threat. What they want to make sure doesn't happen is that there's the network's already there. It's the infrastructure and the capability to do what we're talking about. That's why crypto is being slapped around as much. They want to make it central bank digital currency, GoldmanSucks.gov coin or whatever the hell they're doing. 2024 Reborn, Anarchapoco this year, is more than just a lot of the pieces that are there that people would go for. You know, I talked to Danny's girlfriend the first time she went to Anarchapoco. She thought it was going to be yoga and, you know, freaking peace be upon thee, the meditation of massages or something. And all of a sudden, what the crap just happened, what she got exposed to? And all of a sudden, a couple of years go by, boom, she's anarchist, you know. And, you know, here we go. So if you go to Anarchapoco thinking something else, or you find your tribe there, you're going to get exposed to the reborn of the future that 2024, I think, is a launch pad for. Describe that. What do you see the future? It's going to be, you know, somebody's going to, you know, they're going to have an election and the government's going to win, you know, in 24, you know, whatever. But what do you see as what we're building and demonstrating and what Davos and friends needs to be afraid of?
Well, that's a tough question. What's going to happen in the future with all this? I don't really know. I do know that all of their systems are in collapse. That's why I started the dollar vigilante. I was expecting the dollar to collapse at some point, basically around now. And it is, and it will, even more. And all the central banks are going to collapse. A lot of the government's going to collapse. A lot of the economy, as we know, it's going to collapse because of it. Basically, basically most of the things they've set up are all on the verge of collapse. Now, what they want, and what they know that as well, obviously. They're not stupid, a lot of these people. Like all these, you know, Joe Biden's stupid and Justin Trudeau's stupid, but those are just complete puppets. They're just actors. They just read off their teleprompters. The people really running things, they're not stupid. And they know this is reaching an end, especially the central banks and the digital and the currencies and stuff like that. It's all headed towards hyperinflation very quickly now with all the amount of debt. And that's just a natural thing that happens when you have a debt-based monetary system like a central bank. So these things are collapsing. They want to kind of do it in their way. It's always problem, reaction, solution. So they're trying to set it up. So there's lots of problems. And, you know, this Ukraine thing is getting things set up. The Israel thing is getting things set up to do kind of like a World War III, which is just completely orchestrated, just like World War II, just like World War I, just like every single war. It's all based on lies, all based on false flags, and then the banksters reorganize things in a way that they have even more control and more power. So we're going to see probably stuff like that. Satan Klaus Schwab has warned that the next thing they're planning is a cyber attack. Bill Gates has warned that they're going to do something way bigger than the COVIDs next. And so I think they're going to do all these things all at once, and probably this year or maybe next year at the latest, I think. And when that all happens, the world's going to change so dramatically, no one will believe it. You will actually not believe it. Most people will actually be fooled by it. They're going to make the next COVIDs look like it's real. It's probably going to be set off by 5G, and it's probably going to interact with the graphene that's in the lethal injections that over a billion people injected into their bodies. And they can individually target those with the 5G. So they'll be taking down people all over the world, and then their mainstream media propaganda will come out and say this is a new COVID, it's disease X now, and there's 100 million people died this month, we've got to lock down the entire world. Most people will fall for it, even libertarians, a lot of them will fall for it because they'll be in massive fear, because it'll be real this time. The COVID was completely made up, it didn't even exist, it's not even a thing, it was just a lie completely, and a lot of people fell for it. But when you see people all over just dying, and you know, half the people on your street just died in the last week, 99% of people even watching this video who say I won't fall for it will probably fall for it, because it'll be just blasted. And when you go into that level of fear, you cannot think. And that's why part of what I'm talking about in Archipelago is you've got to do the work on yourself right now to survive what they're going to do. This is going to be massive, what they're going to do. The COVIDs, they've all laughed. They've said that was just a test run. That was just put into place a bunch of things. That was to see how it goes before we do the big one. Bill Gates has said that we'll see the next one will get people's attention next time. They're already planning the Disease X. The whole World Economic Forum was about Disease X. They've already got vaccine centers set up for a disease that they haven't even found yet, because they've already got it all planned. They've already done a Disease X bill in the United States Congress last year. They're all getting ready for it. Most people will fall for it, and most people will probably kind of die or be enslaved or be sent off to camps during this process, and especially most Western countries where they've already got all the camps set up from the COVID stuff. So if you're asking like where do I see this going, I think it's going to be things that no one can even believe will happen, more dystopian than pretty much any movie you've ever seen. But if you do the work on yourself, if you become reborn, if you get completely centered, if you completely know what's going on and can able to withstand what's going to happen, you have a pretty good chance of surviving. While most people will be taken out, enslaved, put into camps, because once this next COVID comes out, they've already got every anti-vaxxer on a list. They'll be going, that's the first place they'll be going. They'll be saying, look, there's millions of people dying. It's these anti-vaxxers. We got to go get them, put them into the quarantine camps, which are just concentration death camps, and they'll be just injecting them with their vaccine, which they'll have within days this time. They'll have ultra warp speed, probably under Trump again. So that's what I see.
Hyperdrive!
Yeah.
Ludicrous speed!
But yeah. If you know what's going on, and if you're like you're there in a bus, you're basically getting ready to move, to grow your own food, to get away from civilization as soon as something happens. I'm basically the same way right now. We're building our ranch. It's going to be done in the next 6 months or so. We can actually go there right now. We're already growing food there. We can go and live there right now if we have to, but it's just not fully done yet, so we haven't. As soon as I see these things start to go into motion, we've basically got our bags packed and we're ready to go. It could happen at any moment. It could be this week for all we know. We really just don't know. They just finished Davos, so I knew it was going to happen during Davos, but it can happen any time now. They've all, you know, had their parties, getting ready for the next big one. But the thing is, if you can be smart and centered and not go into fear when this happens, you'll probably find ways around it. Even if you live in a place like the U.S., you know, it'll be chaos and all that kind of stuff. But as long as you can remain and know what's happening and not go into fear, you could probably get around a lot of the stuff. And obviously, if you're not a major city, that'll help dramatically. I would not want to be in a major city in the Western world. In the next couple of years.
Okay, let me ask this. I want to get your comment on this point. As we're doing the occupy the land thing, and we're purchasing land, and we start the building, we've done some prototypes, and we're on it. The problem is that as isolated as we wish to be and self-sustaining, because you're going to need to be, you're still going to need a community. We have a lot of friends and people that we know in the community that have a lot of different skills. We can manufacture any and freaking everything that we want. Desktop manufacturing, do whatever. The thing is, though, is that when you have these kind of bad, all the anarchists, all the voluntarists, all the what, they want to come together and get on your island, Well, we saw this happen from the beginning when we were doing Freedom Summits in the early 2000s for the Free State Project was promoting. The day after they selected New Hampshire, I had them, Amanda Phillips, I think it was on my show out of Scottsdale, and we're talking about, okay, we picked New Hampshire, you got a secret handshake. You got a club, you got a brick and mortar, is there going to be criteria? How's this going to work? Then a lot of the anarchists and young kids, and they couch surfers have went to New Hampshire and camped out and kind of did stuff there. How productive are they? What kind of people are they? They're just like, dude, man, I just want to get high and, watch the sunset every day and not really. Or you have some people, like a lot of your crowd, that has some resources. They're retiring or they've made their money somewhere else. They want to go and be happy and left alone somewhere. So how do you, they're like intentional community versus unintentional community. And my three questions: what do I have to do? What can't I do? What's your conflict resolution? So as you're building your home and your ranch and you're getting ready for the zombie apocalypse, who you bringing inside the wall? Who's staying outside the wall? What's the criteria for how close they get to your wall? As this goes, who I'm talking about. The kind of people that gravitate. There's productive and there's not productive, or yet to be productive, or what? It's the infrastructure that I'm worried about. So how are you dealing with this? What do you think is going to happen as it really starts to happen?
The way I'm personally dealing with it is we're building like a ranch far away from major population centers. It's not super far away, but it's far enough away that we should be pretty good. It's got 20-foot walls all around, like 12 hectares. We also have a large amount of staff. In fact, the reason that I'm kind of have to cut this interview maybe short today is we're doing our annual staff party today. It'll be well over 50 people at it, and that's their families as well. Because of my wife here in Mexico, she basically knows anyone who you need to know in Mexico. They all, not all, but a lot of them respect her tremendously. Her entire family is very respected. They've been here in Acapulco for years. She can, at the drop of a hat, she can have 300 guys with guns come to our house right now and do anything to protect us. I don't know what the deal is, but that's the kind of thing. And, anything to do with, like, the house, like, after the hurricane, like, we just had 20 guys here, like, their houses were already destroyed, but they came to fix ours first because that's how respected my wife is. So, For me personally, I'm not very worried about having a big community of people around me because I've basically already got that. I've got like hundreds of people who all, for whatever reason, just really, you know, respect us and want to help us and that sort of a thing. So,
outside the wall. Inside the wall, outside the wall, inside the wall. You see my point?
Well, we'll figure it out as it goes. We'll just see what happens. I'm just going with the flow with all this stuff. But I would say that if I didn't have something like that, I probably would be quite interested in working on building a community with other people. And I've actually worked with numerous people who are doing that sort of stuff. One of the most popular and successful so far has been in Nicaragua with ECI Development, with Michael Cobb, who's speaking in Narcopoco again this year. There's been dozens of people from the Dollar Vigilante who've all bought basically beachfront property in Nicaragua, far from any population center. They're all on the same page, Dollar Vigilante subscribers. It's actually quite cheap, under $100,000 for a house. You can even get financing. You can even pay a Monero or pirate chain. It's pretty incredible. So there are options out there for people like that. But for me personally, because of everything I just told you about my personal life, I am not concerned whatsoever about that sort of stuff. We seem to have thousands of people who will do anything for us because of my wife and her family, for whatever reasons. They were actually one of the sort of the most bigger families here in Acapulco, like hundreds of years ago. And they actually, you know, the Narcopoco 2016 that we had at the Grand Hotel, it was named at the time.
Yeah.
That used to be their property. They used to live on the beach. And their family sold it years ago and stuff like that. But they're still very connected. And even like what we did.
So you went to Mexico and married up. Okay.
Yeah, I got very lucky. It wasn't just luck. Like, I kind of recognized when I was with her originally, I'm like, who are you? like I actually had my car towed when I, you know, we were just boyfriend, girlfriend. And I go in, I go, what's grua mean? And she said, tow truck. And I said, oh, crap, I didn't know they even had tow trucks in Acapulco. And we go outside, and my car had been towed. She said, don't worry. And 5 minutes later, my car comes driving up with a cop in it, and he got down on his hands and knees and begged her forgiveness. And I was like, yeah, I need to know.
That's all you need to know right there. Don't even need to know anymore. All right. Well, before you go, I wanted to, there's some other stuff. We'll go ahead and end it early so that we can talk for a couple of minutes. I want to ask you some stuff off air. But, you know, I'm of the feeling I've always had this cloud over my head of just experiences and activists and what happened during a lot of things that we've done here in Arizona, the Levolution immediately after, the use of big tech, they, them, those, communication control. I'm seeing communication is going to be the thing. And if it wasn't for Starlink and things like that, when the internet was down, I mean, you know, you're down with all that kind of stuff happened. So we have some other options now that are coming online. There are other communities. Do you feel that you and your crew and the things that you're being an example for, demonstrating what can be done and why, a target? Have you been targeted by big tech? Have you been deplatformed? Because a lot of our friends have and so on. And that is where I see it's right when it's the most important time, Super Bowl time, boom. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to communicate that, and you got like Nikki Haley out there and all these guys. You got to have an internet ID, and you got to get permission slip, and kind of like being able to watch TV in, you know, the United Kingdom, you got to have a BBC permit or charge form, whatever the crap. This is already happening. They are setting it up to happen. If we're not ready for that severing of communication, it's not going to be as easy as I think, you know, it should be. And they outed people, they've segmented, they've identified through all of Kamala Harris coming out, oh, we know who you is. Now we got, you know, the FBI and them wanting to know from bank accounts if they bought Bibles. I mean, what the crap? I mean, it's so bad that if we don't get that done, which has been my focus, and we're just ending up on a, you know, here we're ready. That's what I want to talk about. What do you think the importance of that is, and how prepared are you for maintaining communication?
I Well, I think during these cyber attacks, they might basically take down the power and the internet in large parts of the world, especially in the Western world. Like, I think the U.S. is really being targeted here. Barack Drone Bomber just came out with a movie he produced with Big Mike that talks all about a grid down situation and all the usual propaganda in the movie. Don't trust white people during an emergency, you know, this kind of stuff. But they're putting out all the footprints. Like, it's all the usual stuff they always do, the predictive programming. They're letting people know. So I'm basically ready for a grid down, no power, no internet for maybe forever, for as far as I know. So I've got solar panels, I've got wind sort of stuff, I've got you know, everything you can imagine as far as that's concerned. I've got EMP protection on stuff. I've got Starlink, which I don't even really like because that's actually like a global, like, prison grid system, but it works for the internet. And actually that helped out a lot during an Acapulco, or just during the Acapulco hurricane was, we had no communication for the first month, but, through Starlink was the only way. So I've got that, and I'm thinking about getting a ham radio. But I'm actually ready for whatever happens. If it all goes down and it never comes back up, which would be really hard to do, but, you know, anything is possible. They talk about these Carrington event type things. I don't know if those are real, but maybe all electronics in the world get destroyed somehow. I'm fully ready for that. I'm ready for anything and everything. I'm actually excited about it. So far, the apocalypse has been the best time I've ever had in my life. I'm so surprised. You know, they've been trying to do a genocide and kill everyone on Earth for the last 4 years, and I'm just laughing and watching these people go down every day, and they're all like, they got their surgeon's masks on, and they're all like sick, and they're like, you gotta take the jab, and I'm just like, alright, take another one, bye. It's been fun. You know, if it turns into the zombie apocalypse where, you know, they've got these people, they've got them with Bluetooth codes now, and now the 5G, they might actually like be controlling these things using artificial intelligence soon, so it could be a full zombie apocalypse.
They wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. You know, one thing before we go off, I just wanted to share with you. You said ham radio, and I remember in the 90s that was a big thing because you had shortwave programs of different Patriot for whatever. And we just started, it's been in the works in the background, and Ian Freeman, still from prison, you know, with Free Talk Live, I've taken on one of the nights. I do Mondays for him. And what we've done is there are these low-power FM channels, you know, frequencies around the country. There's over 1,000 of them that they created software using the internet to be able to program and offer programs. So starting last week, we started broadcasting on a lot of these. And the reason I was so supportive of that, wanted to play, is because it's not trackable. It's a broadcast of an FM signal, and everybody's got FM receiver or something, that the signal can't die. You know, people, and you're not knowing who's listening, kind of thing. So it's that kind of, there's so many of these that I'm very selective and like, oh, hell yeah, we'll do that, do that, do that. And we're going to talk about some of the other things we'll work together on. But thanks for coming on. Hold on a little bit. Anarchapoco 2024. You just put Anarchapoco in a search engine, it'll blow up all over the place, and you can see all the great speakers and their schedule and everything. And it's just really is something that has been life-changing for so many people that have experienced it. They come from all over the world, and wherever the queen or king now, whatever, has got her picture on the money, that's where they come from. It's probably half the people, the whole thing, at least a third, are from Canada, United Kingdom, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, for whatever reason, you know, they make it to Anarchapoco. I am seeing it happen, and people get with other people of light and find out they're not alone. You go to Anarchapoco, you'll find out you're not alone. Jeff Berwick, thank you very much for coming on, brother.
Always a pleasure, Ernie.
Hey.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.